My name is Rachel Rofe. I created the show because I wanted to help you see that if you have a choice, you can choose a better life. If you're listening to this podcast, you're in a pretty fortunate position. You have free will, ability to connect to the internet, and access to all kinds of new education. This podcast is meant to help you make the most of your good fortune. We talk with all kinds of people here from all walks of life because I want you to see that no matter what your situation, there's always a way to create a life that you're proud of. Hello. So today's episode is with Denise Duffield Thomas. And in this episode, we talked a lot about what Denise is an expert at, which is all about money mindset. And, you know, if you listened to the podcast about why do we sabotage our happiness, I talked in that about how a lot of us have these kind of happiness thresholds where we don't let ourselves get happier than a certain amount. And then once we do, we start immediately kind of sabotaging ourselves. So Denise does a lot of the same work around money specifically. So we talked about having kind of income ceilings, how people have them, and then practical action steps you can do to be able to raise your awareness and increase your income ceiling and increase the way that you look around money. So this was a fun show, and it was actually, I thought that we had canceled the show, and so I saw Denise on Skype, and usually I like to get a lot of interview questions and stuff prepped, and we decided to just freestyle it, and it ended up working out really well. I think we covered so much stuff, and I'm excited for you to hear. So here we go. All right, well, thank you so much for being here, Denise.
Oh, thank you, Rachel. I'm so excited to dive in and let's get really juicy about money.
Let's do it. Sounds fun. So the way that I like to start off every show is, you know, the intention behind this podcast, A Better Life, is to show people that if they have a choice, they can choose a better life. So in that spirit, can you just share some things that you're currently proud of?
Oh, absolutely. So I had a baby about a year and a bit ago. And I think the thing that I'm super proud of is how much I've stepped into my role as a CEO in my business and of my life. Like, I think having a baby is one of those life situations where it really forces you to prioritize. And I'm really proud of some of the decisions I've made in the last year where I've consciously made choices that serve me and my family. And everything really is about creating more happiness now, I've realized. And I am just super proud of that my business has thrived and my life has really thrived. Whereas, you know, before I had a baby, I was thinking everything's going to be terrible when I have a baby. You know, my whole life and business is going to fall apart. And it's really thrived.
That's awesome. So what were some of the things that you did to make sure, like the priorities that have shifted and how you've managed them?
Well, I want to talk about first from a business point of view because it really surprised me how much I've stepped into that CEO role. I think before I had a baby, and this is not just for mothers because I think anyone can learn these lessons. People had been telling me for years to batch things in my business, to get more organized in my business, to delegate more, you know, all these things that had been resisting. But suddenly I didn't have time to do them. So that made a huge difference. And I'm like, God, I could have done this years ago. You know, why did I have to wait for the excuse of having a baby? And then I think in my life, I've really stopped doing things that make me stressed or make me unhappy. And again, all of those things I could have done before I had a baby. I know this show was not about baby, but things like delegating my laundry and not seeing people who make me feel unhappy. You know, sometimes you've got people in your life like that and you see them and you just think, oh, you were such an energy drain. And in the last year and a half, I've just gone, I really don't have time to see those people. So I'm just going to let them fade away. And both of those decisions, both from a business and life, have just improved my life so much. And they're all things that you can do right now.
Absolutely.
You know, any of us can do those.
So I'm curious, just with the friends that you've stopped seeing, the people that have been draining you, how did you stop seeing them? Did you say something or was it just stopping responding or how did that work?
Oh, juicy question. So this has happened to me in stages. I think when I first started being an entrepreneur, I had to phase out people who were in the same position that I wanted to get out of. So I was in a job that I didn't like and I was constantly bitching about my boss and my coworkers and all that kind of stuff. And all my friends were doing the same thing because everyone kind of hated their jobs. And that was really important to me at the time to start phasing out some of those friendships, not saying I don't want to see you anymore, but just kind of not having as much time, not being as available to them, but also being very conscious about the time that we did spend together, because I wanted to get my head out of that space of we're in a job that we hate. And I wanted to start to be in a new space where I was around entrepreneurs. So the phase that I did, which was really good, instead of going out to a pub or for lunch, I would meet them at the movies, because you can't sit and bitch about your job while you're watching a movie. And that made a huge difference for me. And that's what I probably did about 5 years ago. And so I think I've been on a friend or an energy refinement since then. And, you know, it's good when you've got an excuse, when you just say like a, you know, business or a baby, or you've got a project on it, or you're renovating a house or whatever, just to say, you know, I don't have time. I don't have time to meet up right now, you know, and just be really, I think, careful of the energy that you bring into your world, because it makes a huge difference to how you feel about your life and about the decisions that you're making in your life.
Absolutely. So you are a money mindset master. And so now this leads me to just be curious. So your friends, you're very conscious about who you let in your life. And, you know, everyone knows you're the average of the five closest people to you. So for you, like, do you try to be friends with people who have a certain income level, or do you have like different space for different types of friends? How does that work?
Oh, juicy. So yes, when I wanted to start making more money in my business, it's not that I had an income criteria for my friends, but it was more about what's their energy around money. So all of my friends now, we might have different income levels, but we share a similar energy around money. So it could be one of my criteria is having low money drama in your life. Which means that you're not in massive amounts of debt, you look after your money, you have a healthy respect for money, you're not earning it and then getting rid of it all in a kind of a crazy feast or famine cycle. And so that energy, that can be true for someone if they have, you know, kind of just enough to live on within their means, or someone who's a multimillionaire, and that energy can be very, very similar. What I find stressful, and I think this is what I say to the clients and people in my boot camp, is that, as you said, if you're the average of the five people around you, if you are constantly around people who are in massive amounts of debt, who bitch about their money all the time, like they don't have enough, and that feeling of not having enough, by the way, has got nothing to do with money, because that can be at all stages of income. People who have lots of drama in their life around money, people who don't have a respect for the money in their life, people who overspend or overindulge out of their means, all that kind of stuff. When you're around that, you're in that energy, you know, and you can unconsciously pick some of that stuff up. So I think that's hugely important. And definitely when I've increased my income is when I've increased upgraded the energy of the people around me and the energy of how they feel about money in their life.
And so because I feel like so many people have money issues to some degree, like, yeah. how are you finding these people that you're friends with?
Oh, that's a good question. I've always set a really strong intention around it. So when I knew that I wanted to start making more money in a business as opposed to my job, I did set the big intention, but I also started to seek out, well, where would these entrepreneurs hang out? Because I didn't know any of them. You know, I didn't know anyone who was an entrepreneur. And so I started going to business conferences, or I started going to networking groups, and set a really strong intention to find people who could show me that it was possible to have a business, even just a little bit. And then once you have a foot straddled in both worlds, you kind of have to choose, and that's when you can start to be very intentional about it. And I actually made a big leap of going from quitting my job, my full-time job, and going into a part-time job, because then it gave me that extra time to hang out where entrepreneurs were hanging out, because they hang out during the day, you know.
Yeah.
And it's the same when I, you know, then I was like, oh, now everybody I know is an entrepreneur. Like, I hardly know anyone really who has a full-time job. And I did the same thing again when I started looking at, well, I want to be around people who are more successful. How do I do that? And actually, a lot of that came from my online friendships, my online relationships. I started reaching out to people who had a business that I aspired to, and I would become friends with them, you know, by just reaching out, helping them, asking if they wanted to do a Skype date, doing joint ventures with them. And now I see that my peers and the people that I do spend a lot of time with are people who are very successful in business, and they live that kind of life that I aspire to. So it's a combination of, I think, having a really strong intention, knowing what you're looking for, and then taking the action to find where those people are hanging out.
Beautiful. And then the other, you said two other things that I was curious about. First, you've mentioned a couple of times, like having a respect for money. Can you, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, again, when I keep on saying it's not about the money, it's because I started to realize very early on in my money journey that money in itself has got actually nothing to do with how people are around money. Because people in my boot camp, some of them grew up with no money, some of them grew up with a lot of money, and they still have money blocks. You know, it was really, really kind of bizarre to me. So I think it's the whole concept of respect for money, I think it comes around what do you do with the money that you do earn, and how do you take care of it? Do you track your money? Do you pay bills on time? Do you live within your means? Are you looking to increase your means and doing that consciously and respectfully? Do you save money? Just, again, that thing I said before about having low drama.
Yeah.
You know, not no drama, because some of us still have some money drama, but low drama around money. And, you know, I know in myself, I sometimes still disrespect money. Sometimes I don't track what's coming in, or I don't track what's going out, and I have to really put myself back in that habit. Because as you said at the top of the call too, about a lot of people have got money blocks. I think everyone does to a certain extent, and I think it's a habit and a choice that you have to be good with money. And it's not just a one-off thing. It's like you have to have a shower every day, you have to brush your teeth every day, and it's that same thing of you have to work on your money stuff regularly. Otherwise, it can very, very easily kind of fall into disarray, you know, and get dirty.
Absolutely. So can you tell me about like what your money process looks like normally, like how you handle money? And so that's part one. But then part two, so you say like when you're disrespecting money, I'm curious, like are there other things that are happening in your life where that are tells that you're going to start disrespecting money?
Oh, wow, that's juicy. Okay, so let's start with the handling money thing first. So one of the things that I teach on my money boot camp is this concept of tracking money. And as entrepreneurs, we should obviously track our income and our expenses particularly. But an exercise I get people to do is to track on two columns the money that comes into your life. So on column number one, it's pure cash. So if you find a coin in the street, that has to go on that tally. If you get a client that comes in, that money goes on that tally. If you get an inheritance, like any kind of money, it goes on there. And the reason why we do that is, one, awareness. A lot of women are way more abundant than they think. You wouldn't believe the amount of times that people, when they start to do this exercise, they go, oh my God, I'm already hitting my money goals. I just didn't realize it. Or you realize that you're very abundant in some ways and not others. So maybe you find it really easy to get money from your parents or from a particular like a job, but when it comes to another source of money, say for example money that you get from your business or something that you really love, sometimes women really block that money because even though it's easy for them, they feel almost guilty. It's like, well, that's cheating to get money from that. You know, it only counts if I get my money from my job or from this particular source. And so we start to compartmentalize it and go, well, this is real money and this is not real money. So this exercise is to really show that it's all real money. Some people even think that money that comes in from their PayPal account, and it's like, well, they paid on PayPal, so that's not real money. it's only real if it comes into my bank account. And, you know, so that exercise is a huge awareness exercise. It's a huge gratitude exercise to realize that you are very abundant. The second column, though, is important as well, and this is where you track value that comes into your life. So say, for example, you meet your friend for lunch and she pays for lunch. Well, you track the value of that in the value column, If someone gives you something for free or a discount, you put that in that column. And this also serves another purpose because it's definitely about gratitude and awareness, again, because we often are way more abundant than we think. But it's also very clear. You start to see, oh, wow, I'm really good at getting things for free. I'm really good at getting discounts. I'm really good at people giving me things, but not in cash. You know, what is that about where I can accept and receive in that column, but I can't accept and receive actual money that I can spend? So that exercise is a huge illuminating exercise for a lot of women. So it's very simple, but that's, for me, that's a daily hygiene for me on how I handle money, is making sure I've got that awareness. That's hugely important. And I, on that disrespect and tell, I've definitely got some stuff on that. But do you have any questions on that, that handling money, that daily handling money?
No, I love that. I might have some follow-up questions later, but for now I'm excited to hear the disrespect thing.
Okay, cool. So it's definitely the opposite. If I find myself not tracking money or not tracking the value, then all of the opposite things happen. So, you know, instead of gratitude, I feel lack. I feel, hang on, the universe is not sending me any money. I feel poor. I start to feel resentful about clients or people not paying on time or not having enough. So you can see that tracking and being very aware of what comes into your life, the gratitude brings more. When you start to have resentment and you start to feel poor, you start to have a poverty mindset, then there's a definite follow-on from that, right? Because both things have a cascade effect, and you just have to choose, do you want the positive cascade effect where more and more comes in because you're joyous and you feel like offering more and more, or the cascade of the negative where you feel lack and you feel resentment and you feel, you know, like not enough. So for me, it's such a simple hygiene. It's like brushing my teeth. I track my income. And I've seen now when I've had so many people go through my boot camp and tens of thousands of people read my book, a very similar thing. You know, it's that daily tracking, that daily hygiene can lead to such a positive or a negative effect. You choose.
Yeah, you know what I really love about that, doing both the pure cash and the value that comes in, is, I mean, it's only positive. So I've been doing a tracking where I basically do all the money that comes in and then all the money that goes out. And so especially if I'm at the beginning of the month and I'm doing a lot of affiliate payments, like I love paying affiliates, yes. And it's like, oh man, like I'm in negative. And so then it's not fun. So I love doing something that's 100% gratitude. And I'm curious, like, so how do you track the money that goes out?
Oh, yeah, good question. So I used to track it just on a very simple spreadsheet, you know, back when my business was a little bit simpler. Now that my business is much more successful, I have a lot more transactions that go out, it's more automated now. So my business syncs with zero, and my bookkeeper also reconciles that every month. So I can log in and see my expenses very clearly. But also I think I've gotten to the stage where I know what it costs to run my business. And this is key, right? Because I see sometimes in my boot camp, and I always not slap people down, but I always give a gentle smackdown on this where they go, I've got all these bills coming in, what's going on? And it's like, bills should not be unexpected. And most of the time they are not unexpected. You need to know how much it costs not only to run your business, but how much does it cost to run your life? And, you know, those big expenses that come out every single year, once a year, once a quarter, whatever, you need to budget for that and you need to know that they're coming. And if you don't have enough money to run your business and your life, you have to have a plan to make more so you can cover all of that beautifully. So I do that for my business with a zero, and I also use an app for my personal expenses. The one that I use is called Pocketbook, but I think it's only available in Australia at the moment. But there are a lot of other, you know, phone apps that you can do that can sync with your bank account. And I think it is important to have a handle on that because it's stressful when things come out of the blue. And I'm all about minimizing the amount of drama and stress that you have in your life around money. And if you can automate it, all the better.
Absolutely. I love mint.com. I think that's super helpful. So I know that you primarily work with entrepreneurs, so maybe you don't have an answer for this, but I'm curious, like, for people who have traditional jobs and they're getting these expenses that they're not expecting, like, do you have words for them on how they would create a plan to make the money?
Oh, absolutely. So I think it's really important for everyone to work on their money blocks, whether they're an entrepreneur or in corporate or in working for somebody else. And for two reasons, right? When you're working for yourself, you have to set your own prices and you have to do all your money stuff yourself. So it feels like you need to have a better handle on your money mindset. But in when you're working for somebody else, you know, most of the time bosses don't give you pay increases without you asking, or they're not going to give you the big the pay increase that you want if you don't have a really good handle on what your worth is and your value is as an employee. So that's always the best place if you're looking to create more money working for somebody else, is to be more valuable and make sure you're getting paid for the value that you offer. And I think it's really important to work on your money mindset in that, I guess, conversation around value and what you're bringing to the business. A book that I always recommend for women who are working for somebody else is Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office. Mm. By Lois Frankel. It's such a good book, and she also has another one called Nice Girls Don't Get Rich, purely about money, and I think they're just beautiful books to read together. And even though I don't work for someone else and I haven't for a long time now, when I read that book, I realized how many sabotages I had in the corporate world around asking for what I was worth and showcasing my talents in the corporate world. It's hugely powerful. And I think the subtitle is 101 Unconscious Mistakes or Unconscious Sabotages, or something like that, that women make. And you go through each one and you can tick it if that is something that you are sabotaging. And it gives you scripts, it gives you ideas, it gives you checklists about how to really excel in the workforce. And then if you read her money one as well, you can find ways to increase money even while you're working for someone else.
Oh, I want to read them. Do you remember any of your sabotages?
Oh, God, yes, yes. There's some really embarrassing ones. So one thing she was saying for women is don't feed people in the workforce, because it sets you up as a nurturer. It doesn't show you as being powerful. And she was saying how many women have, like, candy on their desks and things. And it reminded me when I worked for a consulting firm, a junior consultant who started the same time as me, she really, like, she got pay increases, she got promoted all the time, and I was always really angry about why. And I realized that I would make lunch for people every day in that environment. And so they saw me in a different role than they did her.
Mm.
Just little things like that. And, I mean, I think there was 101 in there, but and just, you know, letting people take credit for your ideas is a big one. And but for me, that really stood out. And also, I was best friends with the secretary, and we would sit and bitch about our jobs. You know, again, that's that energy thing, right? Whereas my colleague, who got promoted much quicker than me, she was always with the senior consultants, and she dressed in a more corporate way. Whereas I kind of, because I was like, oh, I'm not client facing, I'll just dress in whatever I want to dress. You know, there's little things like that that you can do in the corporate world, which really has a huge perception on how people see you. And I've read recently about money and the perception that people have of you. And if they perceive that you are not worth as much, they won't pay you as much, even to the point where there was a study done about people wearing designer clothing in interviews were offered more money than people who didn't. So I think there's so much to learn around that.
Absolutely. That's fascinating. I have to read that book, both of them.
They're brilliant books. Really, really highly recommend.
So speaking of brilliant books, your books, I was in, I don't remember where I was somewhere on vacation, I think Mexico, and I started reading one of your books, and I was just like looking at it real quick, and then I was going to get to fiction because I was laying out on the beach, but I kept reading your book because I just loved it so much, and it's like, I know I'm not supposed to be doing business, but so one of the things that I wanted to talk with you about was just one of the things in the book you talk about, like, making your income level higher. So like every time you want to increase your income level, there's a whole set of exercises that you do or things you can do in order to have the, I guess, ceiling ability to get there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you hit an energetic income level.
Exactly. Can you explain what that is and then how you raise it?
Oh, for sure. So this was a fascinating thing that I discovered is when you start to make a bit more money, or maybe you haven't made it, you know, enough money for a while, there's usually some very symbolic reasons why you can't increase your income. And it feels really real at the time. So it could be, again, a small amount of money. Maybe you can't make any money in your business and you just feel so blocked around it. Or it could be when you've hit a particular threshold. And what I get people to do is to really look at what are some of the symbolic reasons why you can't increase your income beyond where you are. And I just learned the most fascinating things. So I'll give you a couple of examples. One is women get really stuck when their income starts to reach or exceed their partner's income. That can set up some really interesting things for some women. And some are totally fine with it, right? Some women are just like, oh, yeah, of course. For some women, though, it really plays into some really old cultural things about men are supposed to be the breadwinners. And if you earn more than your husband, it can emasculate them. Or maybe you have some unconscious memories about, you know, a story of a woman who earned more than her husband and they got divorced. Or maybe that's happened to someone in your family. Or it could be, so that's the partner thing that's very juicy. Or it could be someone else in your life who you're starting to out-earn. It could be a former mentor. It could be someone else in your family. For me, it was my uncle. I was like, oh, my God, I'm earning more than my uncle. And I wasn't consciously aware of it, but I was definitely keeping myself below that threshold unconsciously because I thought I was going to emasculate him, you know, if I earned more than him. It could be earning more than your parents. Now, this is a huge one for a lot of women. And I've found that it's different in different cultures because in some cultures, your parents expect you to earn more than them. You know, they invest their time and energy and their income in you and your education so you can earn more than them and you can take care of them when they're older. In other cultures, though, when you start to earn more as a woman than, say, your dad, you know, it can feel really disrespectful for us and it can bring up a lot of conflicting feelings for us. And so we unconsciously hold ourselves back. We unconsciously either decrease our income or keep ourselves at the same level. So they're two that are very, like, you know, you can feel they're juicy and kind of very energetic. Here's another one, though, that's a bit more practical because, you know, you've got some Virgo in you. I'm definitely a Virgo. Tax bracket. You know, going to the next tax bracket, earning more and having to pay more in taxes can really hold women back. In some countries, it's starting to rain here. There's a threshold where you have to start charging tax to people. You know, in Australia, you have to start charging goods and services tax. In the UK, it's VAT, value-added tax. So sometimes there's practical considerations where you go, oh, well, you might not, again, be consciously aware of it day to day, but it's like, well, if I go beyond that, it's going to cost me time, energy, etc. For some women, it actually will cost them money. So especially around maybe childcare benefits or some sort of benefits you get by keeping yourself under a certain threshold. And, you know, all of that stuff is completely unconscious. When you start to become conscious about it and you go, what would some of the reasons be for me staying exactly the same? And one of the exercises I get my boot campers to do, plot your income out for the next couple of, from the last couple of years and see, like literally see in black and white, what is your current threshold and where you just can't get beyond. And once you realize what stories you're holding that are keeping you at that, most of the time, most women can break through that.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if you have these unconscious things, like, okay, so people plot their income, then what are other ways that they just understand, like, how do they bring things to their consciousness? Like, how did you find out that your uncle was unconsciously holding you back?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what I actually get people to do right at the start of working with me is to write out all their money memories, everything they can think of. And it's kind of a running list for sure as you start to work on your money stuff. But at the beginning, you want to start with as many things as you can think of. And some people come up with pages and pages. And so it could be memories around your childhood. What arguments did you see around money? What things did you ever hear parents talking about money? You know, what arguments did they have? What beliefs have they got around rich people or poor people or people who earn more than them? And it's really important to do that.